And our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Listen again for God's word to you. Jesus is speaking here. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you be worried add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what we will wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was in middle school, my stepmom owned some chickens and a big fat rooster, which she kept in our backyard. Every time I came out and walked up to the chicken coop, the chickens, of course, would all run away. But that rooster was unexpectedly friendly. He walked up to me when I walked toward him. And over time, he began to trust me enough that I was able to actually pick him up and hold him. Soon he allowed me to pet him, and eventually he would even sit on my shoulder. He never bit me, and he never seemed anxious. In many ways, he became one of our household pets, and I grew to love him as much as I love any of our animals. The next year, I attended summer school and signed up for 3 classes, including a drama class. We produced a short play to be performed at the end of summer school for all the students on the last day of class. The part that I played called for a pet bird to be in the scene, so I had a brilliant idea. I would bring my pet rooster with me to school, and we'd have a live animal with us on the stage. I asked permission of all my teachers if they wouldn't mind a rooster in their classes that morning, and surprisingly, they all agreed. And so, on the last day of summer school, I carried the rooster under my arm on my bike as we rode to school. The rooster sat with me through 2 morning classes. He was so well behaved, he didn't make a peep. And then when we performed the play at the end of the morning, I made my entrance on stage with my pet rooster on my shoulder, and he didn't budge. He even crowed in the middle of the scene. At the end of the play, we all came out to take our bows, and as you might guess, my rooster got the biggest applause. I tucked him under my arm for the bike ride home. I was so pleased with myself and my rooster. Everything had gone so well. But when I took the rooster to our backyard and returned him to the chicken coop, that was the last time that rooster ever came near me again. Of course, as a 6th grader, I was devastated. What had I done wrong? Why wasn't the rooster as happy as I was about our day at summer school? Had I gone too far? Was I abusive to the bird? I felt I had done something terribly wrong. And for the rest of his life, he rejected me. Our Thursday morning book group is reading Trevor Noah's best-selling memoir, Born a Crime, in which he describes his life as a mixed-race kid growing up in South Africa. In the book, he tells a story of his dog, Foofy, who sneaks out of the house every morning after Trevor has left for school and his mom has left for work. Foofy jumps over the front yard fence and runs a few blocks down the street to another house where he has adopted a second family that lives there. In the late afternoon, Foofy would sneak out of this second house and return to Trevor's home. Neither family knew what was going on until Trevor stayed home from school one day and witnessed the dog's clandestine behavior. Trevor and his mom went to the dog's second home and demanded that the family return Foofy to her rightful owners. There was an argument and lots of tears. The boy who was a part of the second family grew to love Foofy as much as Trevor did, and he was so upset to learn that Foofy belonged to someone else. Trevor, too, was visibly hurt that the dog he loved actually loved another boy as much as she loved him. "Foofy was my first heartbreak," writes Noah. "No one has ever betrayed me like Foofy. It was a valuable lesson to me," he writes. "The hard thing was understanding that Foofy wasn't cheating on me with another boy. She was merely living her life to the fullest. I believed that Foofy was my dog, but of course that wasn't true. Foofy was a dog and I was a boy. We got along well. She happened to live in my house. That experience," he writes, "shaped what I felt about relationships for the rest of my life. You do not own the thing you love." Trevor's story about Foofy this week brought back my memories of my pet rooster. The day the rooster said no to me, rejected me, I had learned the same lesson. The rooster wasn't my rooster. He was a rooster who wanted to live his life on his own terms, not by what I wanted or needed from him. I did not own the rooster that I loved. The creation story in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis makes the same point. The most misunderstood word in that story, by the way, is the word dominion. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." In the original Hebrew language of the Old Testament, dominion is not about superiority or control. Dominion is not God's permission to exploit or despoil because we have been created in God's image, which is the traditional interpretation of this text for centuries. Dominion is about responsibility, about human beings caring for creation, being good stewards of the creaturely world that God has blessed us with. As biblical theologian Kristen Swenson writes, human beings have the unique responsibility then to work creatively at maintaining an order that allows each thing to be and to do all of what it is and does. And that, the first chapter in Genesis declares, she writes, is good. This story no more justifies rejecting animals' capacities to think and dream and feel and suffer and be happy than it does in prioritizing men over women. While the text may allow for the necessity of employing and controlling animals to survive in terribly difficult circumstances, she says, it does not deny those animals the possibility of diverse intelligences. And so you see, the dogs and cats and birds and hamsters and other pets we love so dearly really don't belong to us. We are stewards of their well-being, tasked by God to exercise dominion that is not about control, but about responsibility. An important lesson for all of us as we remember and celebrate today that our pets are part of the rich tapestry of blessing that God has bestowed upon all of creation. We gather for worship today with Christians around the globe for the Feast of St. Francis. The blessing of the animals is what we call it in the Protestant world, and the day is technically on October 4th. Today is a timely reminder that our pets, as much as we love them, don't really belong to us. They are blessings from God. May each of us today, whether pet owner or not, take seriously that awesome responsibility that God has bestowed on each of us in caring for and respecting and stewarding these great blessings. Amen.